Well, hello there, guys, and welcome back to the movie podcast with Youngster TV. And yes, I do appreciate how long it's actually been since I've done one of these, but I just wanted to take a bit of time to, like, think about what this podcast really is and what I'm aiming for. Now, I don't want it to, like, just be a movie reviewing podcast. I actually want it to just be anything at all relating to movies or TV, which is why after this episode, I'm going to rename the podcast. And now, like I said in my last podcast, it's available on almost every platform that I know of. So I'm really, really grateful for that. And so yeah, as you can probably tell by the title of this podcast, today I'm actually just going to like talk about anything. Like, just pretty much anything random at all to do with films or TV. So, I want to talk about a couple of things on Netflix first that I either think are underrated, overrated, or just, like, flat-out bad to me. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is A Series of Unfortunate Events Season 3. Now, I'm actually going to get my really, really young sister. I say really, really young. She's 5 years younger than me. Scarlett. And because she's a huge, huge, huge fan of A Series of Unfortunate Events. So I just wanted to see what she thought of Season 3.
I thought A Season 3 of Unfortunate Events is amazing. It's not better than number 1 because the reptile room was my favourite. But...
Scott, you can talk normal, mate. The people are normal.
I love... Nom, 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 nom. Eating food like this. While I was watching the series on Fortune event, so Violet Klaus and Sonny, I love you.
Right.
It was amazing.
So guys, as you could probably tell by...
Yeah, I love you.
From my, from her review of the season, that she doesn't exactly think about TV. Now, I do just want to say that A Series of Unfortunate Events as a whole does achieve what it attempts to achieve. Like, it, but I don't think the tone... It fits, but it's not my kind of tone. Like I say, it meets everything that it tries to meet, and it does what all of that, like, really, really well. Watching it is an amazing time for me because of how well they do those certain parts. But another thing is that, I don't know, it feels like the over-the-top acting really is just a bit too over-the-top. I know it's meant to be over-the-top, but, like, it is way, way, way too over-the-top. It seems to make fun of itself, in a way, and I don't know if it's even trying to do that. And, yeah, the tone for me just isn't great, even though it does... you know, achieve what it's trying to achieve. And I do have to say, Neil Patrick Harris and the people who play the three children, they do give it their all. You can tell they give it their all. Neil Patrick Harris is and always will be an amazing actor, and in this he kind of pulls out everything, but at the same time it doesn't quite live up to his other performances like Barney and How I Met Your Mother. So yeah. And next I'm going to talk about Netflix's Black Mirror Bandersnatch. Now, I think that this movie, or actually, my main problem with this actually is more or less this game rather than a movie, is very, very underrated. And I feel like it's getting so much hate. But personally, I loved it. And I just want to say that Netflix's first attempt at like a live action interactive story, because they did a partnership with Telltale last year with Minecraft Story Mode, and you know, it's basically just the game. I played episode 1, I couldn't get further, you know, it's not my kind of thing. But yeah, their first attempt at a live action thing, I do genuinely think they did amazing. And I prefer this over Bird Box, which has got a stupid amount of hype around it. and it's so popular when it's really, really not that good. Don't get me wrong, it's not bad. I'd still give it like a 6.57 out of 10, but it's nowhere near as good as people say. But Bandersnatch, I feel like, is the better of the two holiday releases for Netflix, because I just loved it. I really, really did love it. I know there are a lot of parts where it's like you get the illusion of choice, but it's not really a big choice. Kind of like what the game Life is Strange did. Which, by the way, season 2 is fabulous so far. There are parts where it's more of the illusion of choice, but I feel like the tone set for this film is perfect. I love the tone, I love how the story unfolds, and I love, but also hate, how there are so many different universes in this one thing. And that's another problem with it. I wish that there was some stuff that is like a concrete thread through all the different branching choices and universes. Because there are parts where it's like... Okay, so spoilers, spoiler warning. Skip to the next segment if you don't want spoilers, I guess. You know, there's one universe kind of thing where his mother isn't really his mother, Stefan. It isn't his mother. She's just an actress. But then there's another universe where she is his mother and he gets on the train with her and dies with her. And it's like, what? Because you don't know if she's just an actress committing suicide because she's meant to be the mum there. So, honestly, that doesn't make... Like, it makes sense, but I wish there was some concrete, like, thread in this. But yeah, that's Bandersnatch. Now let's talk about Bird Box. The thing that I don't really like about this, and it's not what you might think, I love the fact that we don't get to see the monsters. I think that's an excellent way to tell the story. But, sorry about that random pause there. I forgot what I was going to say. I love the fact we don't see the monsters. It catches the tone, and like the director said, she said that the most scary and most tense part of a film with a monster in is right before you see what it looks like, and she wanted to capture that throughout the film, and I think she actually does that perfectly. I think she captures that tension through every single second of this movie. But I don't know, there's just something about it that makes it seem just a little boring, and it goes on for just a bit too long. So yeah. And that basically, that's my problem with it. It's really just my one problem. Because I think Sandra Bullock is an amazing actress, and I think her performance is, like, full on here. I think she does really well. She is one of the best parts of the film. So, yeah, nothing bad in the actors, like, regards. So, yeah. Probably Bandersnatch I'd give a solid 8 out of 10. 7.5 to 8, but Bird Box I give a 6.5 to 7 out of 10, because like I say, it does drag on for just that tiny bit too long. Okay guys, so that actually really does round up everything new that I saw after recently getting Netflix back. So I haven't really taken a trip out to the cinema, and I haven't seen movies that I really want to see, such as Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and things like that. But I do want to talk to you about a couple of older films that I've revisited that I just love. And that is like all 5 of the Jurassic Park films. So they're some of my all-time favourites. You know, obviously the original is the best out of all of them by far. So I'm actually just going to rank them, to be honest, because I don't want to do kind of in-depth reviews. So basically, highest place I would give Jurassic Park, then I'd do Jurassic World, as much as I think that movie is just a huge commercial. Then I think I'd have to go with Lost World, then it'd be Fallen Kingdom, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, sorry. I keep losing my script, boys. Yeah, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, and then last it has to be Jurassic Park 3. As much as that actually pains me to say, because I don't mind it, you know, it's still very enjoyable when I watch it. And up next, I want to do Back to the Future, because I also revisited those. Yes, brilliant films. Yeah, I even like Part 2. Part 3, I used to think was my favourite part, until I revisited it. So I actually have to say Back to the Future Part 1, and then actually really, really closely for me is Back to the Future Part 3. And then last, by fairly far, even though I still like it, is Back to the Future Part 2. And the last, like, series of films that I rewatched, of course all of them but Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, is like all the Spider-Man films. So, number one, well, because I haven't seen Into the Spider-Verse yet, I'm going to put Spider-Man 2, Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2, because that film is just amazing. I really can think of very, very few flaws in that film. Then second place is Spider-Man Homecoming. I know a lot of people think that it's a really bad Spider-Man film, but I really enjoy it. I think Tom Holland is the best Spider-Man out there. Followed very closely by Tobey Maguire, because, you know, he's young, he's that kind of age, he perfectly captures Peter Parker for me. And, you know, he's still in high school and looks like he's still in high school and sounds like he's still in high school, and he acts like he's still in high school, which is why that's my second place film. Then third place has to be the original Spider-Man by Sam Raimi, because let's face it, that was pretty damn good too. Fourth place, The Amazing Spider-Man, the original Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. I actually really, really like this film. In fact, I think it's safe to say that I still loved it. Not quite as much as I did in my top three, but I still really, really dig this film every time I watch it, even though it has some pretty visible and clear flaws in there. And then number five has to be Venom. You know, still really, really loved Venom. Well, I didn't love it, I really, really liked it. I think it's a very good film and very underrated, but you know, there are so many flaws with it that it can't quite top Amazing Spider-Man. I have friends who thought it was the best film of the entire year, and I can actually see where they're coming from, but I do have to say, I really, really do have to say that, you know, there are a lot of flaws with the plot, and you know, it just, there's a lot of things that don't make sense and bring this film down, which is why it isn't higher than Amazing Spider-Man for me. But even if Venom 2 is just as good as this film, and I actually think it'll end up being better because they're gonna have listened to everything that the fans didn't like, or at least I hope Sony does that, Sony do that, because you really have something good on your hands. There's a very high potential for them to make this a very, very good sequel to Venom. And in sixth place has to be Spider-Man 3. And don't get me wrong, I actually love this film. Even though I haven't ranked it higher than Venom, I still really, really love this film. But it's because Spider-Man 3 is actually the first Spider-Man film that I saw. And then I saw the original Spider-Man and then Spider-Man 2. And then obviously as the films came out, I watched them. But yeah, Spider-Man 3 was the first film I saw, which is why I love it, even though I know how bad the film really is. Like, so yeah, now I rewatch it and things like that, I can see why I am just, like, not right in my head for loving that film back then. And in last place, pretty obviously, is The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Let's face it, it's so overfilled. If this was a cup of water or any kind of beverage, it would just be bubbling out of the top and overflowing, because at the same time it's a setup film for a Sinister Six Spider-Man Sony universe, blah blah blah, but it also tries to be a sequel to the original Amazing Spider-Man. And honestly, the best thing about this is Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone. I think they have, like, really, really good chemistry, and that just really, really actually helps out with the film a lot more than you think. So yeah, that's it for today's podcast. I know it runs a little bit longer than like my normal 8 to 10 minute schedule kind of thing, But yeah, I just wanted to announce it's now, from now on, called Mad About Media with Youngster TV instead of the movie podcast. So I'm just going to be talking about all sorts of media, guys, aside from music. So, you know, TV shows I'm going to talk about. The books that I've read, I'm going to add in at the end of each podcast as like a little bonus. Because it's more going to be about movies and TV, but books are still media and I read a lot. So that's still going to be in there. But that's all, guys. Thanks so much for watching. I'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.